Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to welcome all of you to our worship service here at Reveille United Methodist Church. Whether you are with us in person or joining with us online, we welcome you this day. We are continuing with our stewardship sermon series that is based on our visioning here at Reveille. We have already talked about our stewardship and our vision of being a welcoming, hospitable, and inclusive church. And then last week, we talked about stewardship as it relates to Reveille being a hub and reaching out into our community to serve and to do missions. And today, we are going to talk about stewardship as it relates to discipleship and going deeper into our faith and developing a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. So we welcome you this day. I do want to say a brief thank you to Ray Chenault, who's our guest organist here today, and we thank him for being with us this morning. And to talk a little bit more about our stewardship campaign, I'm going to invite Rich Schweiker, our church council chair, to stand up and give us a little more details. Thank you, Rich.
Good morning. It seems like a much easier than I thought. So it's so good to see all of you here today. It's great to be together in worship and fellowship and particularly in person. So last week I stood before you to let you know how excited the church council is about our three visioning statements that we have developed to help guide Reveille over the next several years. I also shared with you that the leaders of the church, those who serve on the church administrative committees, were going to be submitting their stewardship pledges early. And we did that last week, both at the 8:30 and 11 o'clock service. And so those leaders are basically the members of five of our administrative committees: our church council, our board of trustees, our finance committee, our staff parish relations committee, and our nominations committee. And we felt it was just really important to submit our pledges early to show our commitment to these visioning statements and to doing God's work through Reveille in 2022 and beyond. So this Sunday, I wanted to share with you the results, which I'm really happy to let you know that 43 members of those committees submitted their pledges last week. And those 43 pledges amounted to approximately $680,000. And it's not so much the amount that's important, but just the act of submitting the pledge. So just really thankful and appreciative to all those members of the committee who submitted their pledges, but also have provided service to the church in those capacities and will continue to do so, and are just really reinvigorated with regard to what we see Reveille doing in the future. And I hope that you will join us if you've not had an opportunity to submit a stewardship pledge yet to do so today later on in the service. Thank you very much.
Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to worship the living God. The Lord be with you. I invite you to stand as you are able and join me now for our call to worship. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lift high the cross and let us proclaim now the love of God. Let us sing together hymn number 159. It is the cross of Christ that reminds us of God's grace and reminds us of God's love for each of us and for the whole world. In response to that grace and that love, let us now confess our sins with our prayer of common confession and then our silent personal confession. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you have called us to a cross, and we have chosen comfort. You have called us to be conformed to your image, and we prefer our own. You have given us authority as your disciples, which we are quick to abdicate. You, however, are God of grace, to whom we turn for mercy this day. Forgive us, O Lord, and lead us once again into your perfect love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear now the good news. We remember this day that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated.
As you are being seated this day, we invite the Brewer family to come forward. Today we have the privilege of celebrating together the sacrament of baptism. If you all would like to come forward, and you all will be prepared to offer your responses to this time together.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Charles Lindsay Brewer III for baptism.
As you come now to bring this child to the waters of baptism, we have questions of faith which we ask you as parents. And on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, respond by saying, I do. Do you accept the freedom that God gives you and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression? In whatever forms they present themselves again, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened up to people of all nations, ages, and races? If so, respond by saying, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example he might be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercies each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who now receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he might share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you in the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. In what name is given this child? You girls want to come up here for a second? Charles Lindsay, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ.
Let us pray. Lord God, pour your Spirit upon this child. Pour your power, pour out your protection. Raise him up to be a man of God who knows your grace, knows your power. And it is our prayer, O Lord, that by the gift of your Holy Spirit today, that the world is different because of what we do here in this place. Surround him and protect him and fill him with your joy in the days to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. As all God's people say, amen. Friends, we're going to sing a song to this young child. And as we do, know it's our tradition and also an opportunity to celebrate the gift of the child who comes into the covenant with us this day. Let us stand together. Would you all like to take a walk with me? Come on. Amen. You all please be seated. And we thank you all so much for the gift of this child. Thank you. As they're making their way down, we invite our children to come forward. We're going to have our time together up front. Come on up. are you? Good to see you. Come on up and have a seat. It is so good to see all of you because I'm going to tell you something about me. Oh, we got one more coming on up. I'm going to tell you something about me that I bet you never knew. Did you know that I am just an incredible artist? You know that? I'm not as good as our associate minister Kelly over there. She's a very good artist, but I'm a gifted artist. And you know what? My medium, my thing that I do with, I use Play-Doh. You all never play with Play-Doh? Because you know what I can do? I can take Play-Doh, and I can make it look exactly like somebody. Think I could do that? I appreciate your confidence. So we're going to invite Pastor Stephen to come up here, and I'm going to take this Play-Doh. I'm going to make it look just like Pastor Stephen. You think I can do it? Come on. All right, so if we're going to start, I'm seeing purple. So we're going to make that. I got to make this nice and thin for Pastor Stephen, don't I? All right, come on. We're going to start with purple. Oh, you know what? Pastor Stephen needs a head. I think we'll get some hot pink Play-Doh for a head. How's that? Uh-oh. So we're going to make this. And I'm going to make it. Watch this. You think I can do this? You don't believe in me? Come on. All right. There it is right here. Come on. Doesn't that look exactly like him? Come on. Oh, we're not done yet. Oh, can you hold that for me for just a second? That, be careful. That's a precious work of art. So I think Pastor Stephen needs some legs, doesn't he? Should we give him orange legs? All right, so let's do this. Let's make him some legs. All right, and then we're going to put it right on this. Oh, that looks good on you, doesn't it? All right, can you hold it some more for me? Got to hold those legs because it's pretty delicate. I think Pastor Stephen needs some arms. Blue good for arms? All right, let's see what we can do here. Why don't you come on up and stand for me, and then I'm just going, because I don't think my arms are going to stay on there very well. So we're going to put one arm here. There we go. I think I got it. And come on, I'll hold it right there. Come on, does that not, that looks exactly like him, doesn't it? Come on. No, it doesn't. Thank you so much. That doesn't look like Pastor Stephen, because you know what? I'm not a very good artist, am I? But boys and girls, what we're talking about here today is somebody who's a very good artist, and that's God. And you know what God does? God does some work, not with Play-Doh, but you know what God works with? You. You. Now, he wants you to be like Jesus. Now, we don't look physically like Jesus, but he wants to take you, which is his Play-Doh sort of thing, and make you act like Jesus, and love like Jesus, and be kind like Jesus, and do all the things that Jesus does. And what we're talking about in church today is a fancy word called discipleship that teaches us that we're supposed to be like Jesus and that God's working on us. So just remember this, boys and girls. God is a lot better at this than I am, and God doesn't work with Play-Doh. God works with you, making you into a disciple, okay? Let's put our hands together and you say what I say. You ready to say a prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for making me to be like you. Amen. All right, thanks y'all so much for working with me, and Pastor Stephen, thank you for being such a great model. We invite you to come on down. And now, as the children are making their way back, Steve Holdyke is here, and Steve is going to say a word about our discipleship work here as a church and in the context of our stewardship campaign. We thank you, Steve, for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you. And before I get started, happy birthday, Ryan. All right. So with that going, let's go ahead and say it's great to see everybody here this morning. Thank you for being here. I have 3 minutes to cover discipleship as part of our stewardship message, and the topic is really important. So let's keep 3 ideas in mind as we approach this idea this morning. So 1, our relationship with God is justified through our faith in Jesus Christ. 2, We are expressly called to love your neighbor as yourself, and everyone at all times and in all circumstances are our neighbors. It's really easy to understand, but it's hard to pull off. And three, through our relationship with Christ, we are no longer bound by the law, and rather we operate through the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who does not want to live within this promise? So how does discipleship play in all of this? So within the church, discipleship is the process through which we listen, learn, and study God's word so that we train our minds and our habits to work through the Spirit working within us. We all know that our minds focus on those topics we choose to see and spend time on. So in this context, discipleship is part of God's plan to continually shape our minds so that our thoughts and our activities are aligned or justified to God's will. We are justified through faith in God. We align ourselves to God's will through our thinking through discipleship. So how has this been part of our family as part of Reveille? We've been blessed to participate in Reveille's services, Sunday schools, men's prayer breakfast, youth groups, women's circles, music programs, and small group Bible studies. Each one of these activities allow us to learn and engage in God's word in relationship with others, providing insight and refinement on how we can further trust God and his plan. It is this bedrock and foundation on where our family finds strength and resiliency when our plans have been challenged. Everyone in this church has had, let's call it what it is, a set of really rough circumstances over the last 18 months. On top of unprecedented change, our ability to come together and support one another in person has been limited. This has shaken how we engage with one another. Daily, we witness the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit manifesting themselves in the news and in our communities. However, I have faith that God's plan is to continually call us to him. Through our justification through faith, his playbook is opened. His playbook is his word. As his people, we are called to discipleship to learn how we are to respond to his plan. It's through understanding and continually focusing our minds on his plan that we can continually serve him through his ultimate command: love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, everyone at all times, in all circumstances, are our neighbors. And working through God's love and treating everyone around us in a spirit of love, we can truly enjoy the peace, joy, and contentment God has planned for us in all circumstances. So it sounds great. So now let's join us and challenge yourself to commit to focus your mind on God, to fully to enjoy his life and his promise. So thank you. Luke, come on up.
Please join me in praying the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes from prison to a recently formed Christian community about the glory of Christ. This will be found on page 957 of the Pew Bible. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, make the word of God fully known. The mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches and the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he who we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone in mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Luke. Our second reading for the morning comes from the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, as Jesus offers these closing words in his earthly ministry to his disciples and subsequently to us. Hear now the word of God. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, as your word is proclaimed this day, it is our prayer that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear a fresh and new thing. Show us the power this day that is abundantly available to each and every one of us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, many years ago, pastor and author John Ortberg jokingly offered some advice to pastors. He said, "You know what? If you want to get folks to come to church, all you have to do is preach a sermon series on sex." And then he said, "The second best way to get people to come to church is to offer a sermon series on end times, Jesus coming again, the book of Revelation." And he said, "The third best way to get people to come to church is to preach on the question, will there be sex in the end times?" Well, folks, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we're not going to talk about any of those things here this morning. In fact, we're going to take on something here that doesn't have quite as much wow factor as those popular sermon series, but we are going to talk about something that is much more powerful, even though it may not seem like it. We're talking today, what is, according to Paul and according to Jesus, something that actually has the power to change your life, actually has the power to change the world. Because this morning, we're going to speak about the power of having a life of discipleship. In fact, today, as Steve mentioned and Rich mentioned, we are completing our stewardship series. And during these weeks, it has been our prayer that you would see what God is doing here, that you would see the great things God has in store for this church as unfolded through these three vision statements, that you would see our profound desire to make a difference in this community and beyond. And you see, this morning, as we get to the section on discipleship, Paul and Jesus both take us to the central place where we have the opportunity to strategically use that which Paul and offers and Jesus designed to change the world. And we begin with the book of Colossians, that reading that we shared together from Paul. And what's fascinating with Paul is in these words, he cuts right to the chase. And he says to the Colossian church, but subsequently to you and me, this is the deal. This is what I'm going for. To you, to quote him literally, he says, "To this end I strenuously contend, and with all the energy Christ works so powerfully within me." Stephen Covey famously said, "The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing." So what we're going to do is just take a brief look this morning at what was the main thing for Paul and subsequently for Jesus. Note that the very first thing, what Paul does when he gets out of the gate in this text, he says, and I quote, "He is the one we proclaim." He is the one we proclaim. And of course, Paul is speaking about the person of Jesus Christ. It should be obvious, but it also needs to be said. Whenever we speak to these issues of discipleship, like Paul, it begins with, is centered in and moves forward in and through the person of Jesus Christ. As Paul said, he is the one we proclaim. And that's why when you look at that long-range statement that we have offered about discipleship in the bulletin today, we've been very intentional with the words where we have said that we as a church, we are going to take intentional steps, I'm quoting, to deepen our relationship with Christ. Again, perhaps it seems obvious, but I think that a lesson from history reminds us of what happens when we overlook this central focus upon Christ and upon discipleship centered upon him. Because those, as George Santayana said, those who don't learn from history are apt to repeat it. There's a story, a fascinating story, about the German church in the years prior to World War II, in the 1930s and in the 1940s. It's a complicated story full of nuance, and generalizations are never accurate, but there's some profound and timely lessons from what was known as the German Evangelical Church. They were a pretty orthodox church, solid church. But it's interesting, when the Nazi Party took over, when Hitler began to gain power, when the anti-Semitism rose up, they couldn't find the power to oppose it. And the bulk of church not only gave in to Hitler, but actively supported him. And it didn't happen everywhere, but in the worst case scenarios, the Bible was substituted with Mein Kampf, the book that Hitler wrote. The cross was taken down and a swastika was put up. Again, that wasn't in all cases, but it's the most extreme. And we look at that story of how the church yielded and gave in such a quick way. And it's easy to say we would never do that. That was back then. But I also invite us to think about that with some humility, careful to not to fall into what C.S. Lewis called chronological snobbery. We're better than that now. We would never do that now. But there was this underground movement that worked to oppose Hitler and his anti-Semitism and the Nazi Party, and was called the Confessing Church, led by people like Niemöller and Karl Barth, and also pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I've been taking some time over these weeks to read Bonhoeffer again. And it's fascinating when you read him. One thing is implicitly clear. He is going to be like Paul, totally focused upon the person of Christ. And not only that, in fact, he wrote a book called Christ the Center, but he also wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. It's all about discipleship for him too. The point is that when we focus on things other than Christ and other than discipleship, we can give ourselves to serve the wrong things and the wrong purposes. Bonhoeffer teaches us that this is the way to stay on point. This is the way to stay on center, to focus on these things. Because, as Bob Dylan famously said decades ago in his song, also made famous by Etta James, you got to serve somebody. And he was right. Every one of us will serve somebody. And we gather to remember deliberately how essential it is that we serve the person of Jesus Christ. So that's where Paul begins. That's his foundation. And then he goes on to tell us why he fights the battles he fights. He says, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's where we get it as Wesleyan people. That's where Methodists get it. We have this fundamental understanding that you and I were not placed on this earth just to be. We're here to grow. As we share with the children, we're here every day to be more like Christ. We are to change. As Steve said, we're supposed to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. See, our job as Christian people is not to just get our ticket to heaven punched. We live and we serve over a lifetime, growing in character, becoming more like Christ, or as Paul said, becoming mature in Christ. I don't know about you, but over this last week, I have grieved the loss of Colin Powell. For me, he was, when I was in the military, he was sort of our go-to leadership example. Now, I know he would be the first to say he made some mistakes in his life. But as we followed him in those decades, years ago, he was one of those leaders who taught us as officers to think about where we're going. What are our objectives? What are we seeking? But he also reminded us about character. It's not about just getting there. It's about who you become and who you are as you get there. Now, Colin Powell, of course, was not speaking about the Christian life, but it is reminiscent of what we believe as Christian people. That throughout our lifetime, we grow in the faith, we grow in character, we grow in the fruits of the Spirit, and we look more and more like Christ. And hear the good news. This does not happen by rocket science. It happens by the regular stuff. Remember what happens when we come to worship. Remember what happens when we come to Bible study. Remember what happens when we give our pledges up here in the front in just a few minutes. When we give generously, when we participate in ministry and mission. Remember what happens. We don't do all those things to please God, because if we don't, God will get mad. We do those things because they are means of grace. When we worship, when we pray, when we give generously, when we serve in mission, we place ourselves in this place where God goes to work on us and forms us and makes us into those people who represent the love, kindness, and justice of a risen Jesus Christ. And don't overlook the beauty of what is here. The scriptures continually promise that we are never alone as we seek to do it. You heard Jesus? I will be with you until the end of the age as you and I go and become disciples and make disciples. We're told that the kingdom of heaven is right here. And all this power and all this hope in an age that has lost so much of it is promised in the scriptures to be available to each and every one of us at our fingertips. But here's another reminder as we speak to discipleship this morning. Being this disciple of which we speak, it's something that you and I seek right here, right now, right as we are. You know, there may be some here today who maybe feel called to go into the ministry, and I would love to have that conversation with you. We would all like to do that. Some maybe feel called to go overseas into the mission field, and we would love to have that conversation. But we also recognize this is not the case for most people. See, I'm believing that the risen Christ is calling you and me to be disciples right where we are in the life we're living right now. One of the premier writers around discipleship was a guy named Dallas Willard. And in his writings, he reminds us the gift of your life, your workplace, your networks, your relationship, your children, your parents, your grandchildren, your community, your retirement community. He says all of this life that you have received is a gift from God. And what we're seeking to do is live that life as a disciple right here, right now. And the question that Dallas Willard puts, and I'd offer to you, is this. He says, if Jesus had the life I have right here and right now, how would he live it? In other words, how would Jesus live my life if Jesus had my life to live? It's worth thinking about how you and I can be a disciple right here, right now. And my aim is to live my life the way Jesus would live my life if Jesus had my life to live. So Paul says that this is the deal. Keep Christ at the center and expend your life going on to maturity as a disciple, and bring some others with you. And we have a whole lot more to say about that. I think we're a bit short on time, but you heard the power in Matthew 28 that Jesus is saying, this is the way the world has changed. And history bears us out. If we look to our Wesleyan history, we have a good record of making a profound impact and difference in the world as we are discipled and go out and make more disciples. We're going to get to the final hymn of our service today, and we're going to bring our pledges forward during that final hymn. But as we do, I hope you will remember what we have been trying to do. Because when we speak of discipleship, it's not as glamorous as a lot of other things. But underneath this modest cover, there's wonder here, and there is power. As the choir sings this powerful song about Be Thou My Vision, I invite you to prayerfully reflect upon the goodness of our God and the opportunities we have to change, be changed ourselves and the world through this gift of discipleship. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
As Pete mentioned in his sermon, prayer is a means of grace, and we, the people of God, are privileged to pray together as we gather here today. So let us offer prayers on behalf of the church and the world. Holy God, as we come before you this day, we pray especially for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And we pray today for Jean Robertson and her family on the death of Inky. We give you thanks for the gift of Inky being a part of our church for so many years, and give you thanks for his life. We pray that you will be with his family and comfort them and support them as they grieve. We pray also for Walker Fonville and her family on the death of Walker's mother. We pray that you will help us as the church, Christ's body here on earth, to be in ministry to all who suffer. We share also great joy today. We give you thanks for the joy of children leading in worship by ringing and singing this morning at 8:30, and for the way that children, youth, and adults are worshiping together here right now. And especially for the joy of celebrating Tripp's baptism this morning and having his whole family here with us for this celebration. We thank you for the gift of baptism and the grace that it reminds us of, and the way that your grace is given to all who are present for this holy sacrament. We give you thanks for the gift of your church and pray for the Church Universal, for our partner churches, Koinonia Christian Church and Love Center of Unity, and for our congregation. We pray that your spirit has been at work in all of us this day, helping us to hear your message to us and to respond to your call, that your spirit is forming us and shaping us more in Christ's image so that we can be the disciples that you have created and called us to be. We ask all this in your Son's name, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All good gifts are a gift from God. If you would like to make a financial offering this morning and you are here with us, you may do so as you leave today. There are offering plates in the back. And if you are joining us online, you may do so by going to our website. Today, we are inviting you during our last hymn to come forward and place your pledge cards here at the front. And also, if you are online, you may make your pledge online.
Our final hymn is a call and response. I invite you to sing the refrain, which is the response at that time. And as Kelly mentioned, this is also the time when you're invited to come forward with your pledge. So would you stand as we sing together, "Here I Am, Lord."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard your calling in the night. I will call, Lord, if you'll lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word. The Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. Is fine. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard
as we go forth seeking to be the disciples that Christ has created and called us to be, let us think about the ways that we will serve this week in our community. We have two opportunities. One is this week. One is to join in the Rise Against Hunger event on Thursday night, and the other is to join in the Swansboro Elementary Garden Cleanup on Saturday morning. For details about these events, you can look in your bulletin, so take your bulletin with you as you leave today.
And now the love of God, the blessing of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you forevermore as we go in peace, as all God's people say. Amen.